on the schedule, this was a second volume study. But we have been presented with an opportunity to have a presentation from one of our visiting brethren. And we have chosen to take that route. And I was of a mind to see where the Lord led with that and to see how long it would take. And at this moment, I don't know. And so we're going to let what happens happens and let the Lord lead on this presentation from our brother Andre. He and his wife Simone are visiting here from Brazil. And he has originally just a short presentation in regards to the matters of their ecclesia down there and things. And in speaking with him, he's prepared to take questions afterwards. And so think of that as we proceed. The meeting that we had today planned, you know, the Lord indicates that when you least expect it. So we have to be flexible. And so this is a wonderful opportunity to have Brother Andre do this presentation, and we welcome it and wish the Lord's blessing on it. And we will see where the time goes in regards to that. And so without any further ado, I will ask Brother Andre to step forward. I will say that he and Simone were here in the States at the General Convention. And before going home, they're going to fly to International. And so with that introduction, I will bring him forward. And he has just a simple slide that I'm going to put on the screen. And I will turn it over to Brother Andre.
First of all, I'd like to say that it is a privilege and a pleasure to be here with you once again. And we bring the love of the brethren in Brazil. As a matter of fact, we voted. I was with them on Facebook Messenger, and they actually sent you messages. The family, for example, in Manaus. Manaus is where part of the Amazon jungle is. There's a family there. And they say, send their Christian love from the brethren in Manaus, Amazonas. You also have brethren from São Paulo, from Minas Gerais, and from Curitiba, different states in Brazil, sending their love to you. And, of course, Simone and I, we send our love to you. So Brazil is a big, big country. As a matter of fact, the entire Europe can fit into our territory. So this here is Brazil. It's almost the same shape as South America, as you can notice. Some data on the country. Let me see if I can scroll down here. Brazil is the largest country in Latin America. It has 3.2 million square miles and over 208 million people. It's the world's fifth largest country by area and the sixth most populous. The capital is Brasilia. And the most populated city is São Paulo. We've had conventions in São Paulo already. And no, we don't speak Spanish in Brazil, for those who are wondering. In all the rest of Latin America, Spanish is spoken, with the exception of Brazil. I think the French Guiana and another Guiana where English is spoken. And the brethren might be wondering, when was the first time that the truth was brought to our country? Well, it's not something new. As you can see there, in 1867, Sister Sarah Bellona Ferguson emigrated from the United States to Brazil. So that's how it started. And in 1899, she became the first Bible student in Brazil. And the story that I know of her is that her brother gave her a subscription of the Watchtower magazine. So she read the magazine and she loved it. And eventually, she became a Bible student. She had to wait actually for years until someone went there to immerse her. But she was not the only one. I was doing this research, you know, in several libraries, including the Watchtower Library, which is from the JWs, and also the Bible Students Library. Brother Jeff Mazera helped me with this one. And we found other brethren in Brazil, like Brother Tavel. He brought the truth to the northern part of the country, in Salvador, Bahia. And these people didn't know about each other, you know. So what we are seeing here are different efforts in different areas of the country. No internet at the time. You know, telephone, I think, was yet to be invented or just newly invented. So they didn't have contact with each other. In 1947, the Herald magazine receives a letter from a 74-year-old sister from Brazil named Marguerite Greisenbach. So then, as you can see, there were efforts being done. We also know of brethren who have emigrated from Poland to Brazil, to the southern part of Brazil, and they were establishing classes there, including a couple. And you probably know one relative of theirs, Sister Christina Felicki. And we're talking about Brother Avel. And they actually went to Brazil first. Correct if I am wrong. They went to Brazil first and stayed there for a couple of... was that a year? About a year. And then they emigrated to Argentina, where actually they took roots and they had an ecclesia there. And up to this date, the address on the Dawn magazine for Bible students in Argentina is theirs. So that's very interesting. Now, jumping a couple of years in time, we arrive at the 1980s. And you've probably heard of the Hagen Six. So that's when they visit Brazil for the first time. And they meet, or they met, Bartolo Fonseca and his wife Lucia, along with the rest of the family. I think we're talking about seven people. Is that correct, Sister Marge? Where is Sister Marge? How many?
Approximately.
Yes, seven people. It's a fascinating story. We have a video of Sister Marge telling that story in English, translated to Portuguese, of course, but there's the English part. It's on our YouTube channel in case you're interested with, you know, many interesting details about that. And the Hagen Six actually kept visiting Brazil for some time. I would say like five times or more before I actually met them. Is that correct, Sister Marge?
About it, I'm not sure the exact count.
Uh-huh. And that's it. I mean, so they were obviously encouraging these people like Brother Bertoldo to take root in the truth and grow in the grace of the Lord and develop his character. And because of that, eventually, Brother Bertoldo Fonseca translated, and that was around the 1990s, the Divine Plan of the Ages book to Portuguese. Sister Marge told me that he translated from the Spanish, because the other translation that we had back then was from Polish to Portuguese, and it sounded more like Polish than Portuguese. Now, this time around, it's from Spanish to Portuguese. It was good. It was an improvement. See? And it, of course, we, you know, it helped many people to learn the truth. In 2009, that book also had to be updated because of, you know, changes in spelling, grammar, and things like that. So basically now we have the Divine Plan of the Ages book. It's a good, you know, edition. And there are many requests for that book. I receive basically every month there is at least one or two people asking for that book. And we have it in PDF in our website. As it says there, the present work of the Studentes da Bíblia Bereanos, and that would be Berean Bible students, that's how we call ourselves in Brazil, is a direct result of those blessed early efforts. Why? Like, we can say that. Because I have this huge debt, you know, towards the efforts of Sister Marge, the efforts of Brother Todd and other brethren. Let me tell you a little bit about myself and how I became involved with this work. I used to be a JW, a Jehovah's Witness, born and raised in that religion, third generation. My grandmother learned their truth from a missionary in the early stages, in the early days of the JWs in Brazil. Now there are 700,000 people there. They have grown to that number. And in 2005, Simone and I went to Bethel, that's how they call the place where they print their literature. They have Bethel houses all over the world, in many countries. It's a big farm in the countryside of São Paulo state. They have this huge printing press, Roland Mann, or Little Mann. It's one of the biggest in the field. And I was invited to work there as a translator. So in 2005, I went there to translate their publications. It's actually a team of over 20 people doing that. So I used to translate some articles of the Watchtower magazine, the Wake magazine, the yearbook, even the Watchtower library, some of the things there regarding the program I was involved with, the index of publications. I mean, I was fully involved with them. And when I went there, I could say that I fully believed that that was the only true religion on earth. And that's why we were dedicating our lives to their cause. But because of my work, two things happened. I had access to their library at the translation department. And in their library, there are the volumes and the reprints. Now you pretty much know what happened. I read them, and I'm an avid reader. I like reading, I love reading, and so I did. Particularly volume 6 touched my heart in a way that I couldn't imagine. Around that time, I also understood the heavenly calling, and I spoke with my wife. I guess that you probably know that among the JWs, not all of them claim to be consecrated. They actually preach the earthly hope. And only if God calls you in a mysterious way and changes your heart, you know, like flips a switch in your mind and makes you convinced that you have been called, is that you can actually partake of the emblems. That's what they teach. They don't talk about the heavenly calling. They only talk about paradise and how nice we'll be, giraffes, elephants. Of course, those things will be nice. We all know that. You know, the earthly phase of the kingdom will be beautiful. But because of that emphasis, you know, people don't, you know, they don't get in touch with the true gospel of reconciliation. They don't even know what the harvest message is. They have no idea whatsoever. But through the books, I was able to get in touch with that. So much so that I told my wife one day that my hope was the heavenly one and that I was going to consecrate. And imagine her reaction. What? Are you leaving me? See, because she had the earthly hope, as they call it, and it was a huge impact. You know, she went to the elders and, you know, my husband is having these ideas. But she at least had time to be prepared, because that was like 1 year before the memorial. And at first she thought, he's going to, you know, change his mind. I mean, he just read some books, you know. But no, I kept, you know, truly believing that that was the right thing to do, and I did. But when the time was right for the memorial, everything was fine. She was already used to the idea. But anyway, I started having problems with them, because as a fairly young person, you know, for their standard, because they think that only the old ones, you know, really experienced people are entitled of being called, because, you know, God, why would God choose, you know, a 40-year-old person and not choose the director of this facility? And I had people asking that question to me in my face. Like, why you? And I said, well, ask him. And they would frown upon me and all. But over time, I guess they got used to it. But because also of my work, I used to translate or interpret members of the governing body in their visits to the country, to Brazil. And the governing body is, for them, it's like the apostles. It's like Christ. I mean, it's whatever they say, regardless of if it makes sense or not, it is accepted as the absolute truth and the gospel. But I had questions in my mind. I have read the volumes. I knew what truth is. And during our trips, I had opportunities of asking those questions to some of those members. And they couldn't give them the right answers. I wasn't convinced, you know, with their answers. And I believed in the answers that I had seen in the volumes, for example. And it got to a point that I became fully convinced that I was in the wrong place doing the wrong thing. But that was my life. Because, you know, when we do this work, that's voluntary work. You don't receive a wage, salary. You receive something to help you get by. And of course, a place to live, you know, power, laundry, those things. But I used to talk to my wife. I mean, I have to do something. I don't believe in this anymore. And it was also around that time that I decided to look for the Bible students on the internet. I mean, what happened to this group? And then I found the Herald website, which helped me a lot. Sorry. I would download the MP3 files. You know, like, I recognized Sister Joanna's voice, you know, the first time I met her, because of, you know, and also Brother David, because of listening to those files. I would also download articles, the PDF, and audio from the Dawn magazine. And eventually I tried to get in touch, to contact a member of the Bible students. And then on Facebook, and I remember that was around, I guess it was 2011 or 12, I typed Bible student elder. And guess what name came out? Todd Alexander. And he says that he never used that title in his profile. I mean, he doesn't know why. I mean, maybe the algorithm, or maybe someone made a comment and the algorithm understood, made some connection, and that was the name. So I sent him a message over Messenger. Of course, he did not friend me. He was wise. Please don't friend people that you don't know, because the Lord will take care if it's the right one. And I'll tell the rest of the story. But he gave me his email address. And so we exchanged a couple of messages. I was so, you know, happy with this contact. But that's it. I mean, I did not keep talking to him. So 3 years elapsed, and during that time, I was able to contact this person that at the time was translating or using people to translate the Dawn magazine in Rio de Janeiro, in Brazil. He asked me to translate some articles. He sent me some articles of the Dawn. And here I was in Bethel translating the Watchtower and translating the Dawn magazine, or at least some articles. See, that was so, I mean, conflicting. They didn't know that. Now they do. But so it got to a point that we were invited to leave Bethel, not because of any wrongdoing, you know, just because they were downsizing. And we had the opportunity of being pioneers, as they call it. It's like co-partners, I guess. It's like a full-time pioneers in any city in Brazil. We had this opportunity to actually pick one that is available. But we decided to go back to Rio de Janeiro to take care of my mom, who is a widow. I didn't want to get involved with that anymore. And that's when, now in Rio de Janeiro, and with more contact with this person that was taking care of the work in Brazil at the time, that this person, and he's no longer involved with the Bible students, unfortunately, he asked me to be an interpreter, to translate a brother that was going to visit Rio for a convention. I said, okay, I'm more than willing and glad to do that. So I go to this convention that was in a dingy place. It looked like a garage, you know. And Sister Marge was there, Sister Marilyn, and Brother Todd. When I saw Todd, I was like, I can't believe it. It's the person I'm trying to contact, like 3 years ago. See, that's why I told you, don't friend anyone that you don't know and leave the matter in the Lord's hands. He will connect the dots eventually, if need be. And I was so excited, and I was so glad. And I became more and more involved. Then we were invited for the first general convention. Simone was still with the JWs, and I didn't force her, pushed her into anything. I just said, let's study the Bible the way it should be. And she accepted. Came to the convention, saw the brotherly love. Sister Marge, the first contact that we had, you know, it was wonderful. It brought tears to Simone's eyes. You know, Simone was tired. 8 hours or 9 hours of flight, a little bit with the fever, remember? And then Sister Marge, I'll give you a massage. It was so nice. You know, first time Sister Marge was seeing Simone, and Simone felt like at home. And at general, too, so many people, Sister Stera welcoming her, brethren here, you know, the Ruggirellos, you know, I mean, so many brethren, the Megas also. I mean, and I remember this point where we were at the balcony and she was crying a little bit and said, I was fooled my whole life, because they say that only them, among them, there is love. But she was seeing love among the Bible students, real love. Eventually, we went back to Brazil, and I wrote my disassociation letter. Simone was hoping to see her parents before that, but the elders, you know, came to her and asked her if she believed the same way I believed. She did not answer. Actually, she was busy. She couldn't talk to her. She said, well, we can talk about this some other time. I'm busy. I cannot welcome you. But they decided to disfellowship her anyway by association. And so it happened. So they announced our names, not only in our local congregation in Rio, but all the congregations that we have been members in the past. And in Simone's case, her parents unfortunately decided not to talk to her. Her sisters haven't talked to her for 3 years, her father for 2 years. But that's the price that we pay, you know, for having the truth and doing the right thing. That's the price. Anyway, since I found the truth by means of a social media page, I thought when this brother left the Bible students and we started becoming involved with the work in Brazil, I thought to myself, what could I do? Because the country is huge. So I felt inclined to use social media to promote the harvest message, because that's how I found the truth. So it would be fair to do the same thing. Of course, there are dangers, you know, involved, and I'll tell you about a little bit about this to you. So basically now what we have, as you can see, is our website. It's in Portuguese and in Spanish. EB Birianos. EB works both for Spanish and for Portuguese. We have, let me see how this goes. Like this. Yeah, we have our Facebook. Hold on. Let's see if I use the mouse here. We have our Facebook page and group. We have over 1,300 subscribers. And we have the YouTube channel that has over 1,700 subscribers. And we started, Simone and I mean, one subscriber, Simone and I, and I told her, let's do the meetings online. And we would study the Divine Plan of the Ages book in Portuguese and articles from the Dawn magazine, just Simone and I. And then eventually others came, and we were developing kind of a system. Right now we have over 300 videos, and some of them with over 30,000 or 30,000 views. In fact, 38,000 views. And people interact a lot because of that. We are well known among ex-JWs, just like that other website that helped me a lot, Friends of Jehovah's Witnesses. Where's Brother Peter? Thank you. You and the other brethren, Sister Jacqueline, you know. So those are tools that helped us. And we try to emulate kind of that approach. So those people interact with us a lot. XJW. So what we do, we record a video, for example. So we try to do some editing, and, you know, present it in a nicely way. So we post it to our YouTube channel. And then we post the link to several XJW's groups on Facebook. So that's how they get to know about the Bible students. And the first reaction is, what? Are they still around? And some of them say, oh, no, these people are just XJW's trying to revive a dead movement. Well, it's not true. And then we have videos, you know, telling the story of what happened in 1918, those four directors that were expelled and the reasons why, and the groups that were formed afterwards. So now we can say that the XJW community has been educated about what truly happened with the Bible students. Like I said, we started with our meeting, and then over time we developed a system. And the system is this. We have three levels of participation in our meetings. So the blue circle is the local class, meaning my house, Simone and I, and whoever attends the meetings locally. Then on the yellow circle, you have the symbol of Facebook Messenger there. So that's the brethren from other cities and states and even other countries. We've had people from Portugal online in a video conference. So Facebook Messenger allows you to have as many as 10 people online, and then we can see each other and they can interact with us. But at the same time, so it's like this. I'm here in front of my computer. My iPad is here with Messenger opened and the brethren here. But we have a third camera filming the whole thing. And that's being broadcast live to YouTube, where another 30 to 40 people interact with us in real time. So they send us questions and comments via the chat feature on YouTube, and we can interact with them. We can answer those questions in real time. We also have some rules that they all know. In case they ask something that it's not the focus of whatever we are studying, I kindly ask them to ask that same question in our Facebook page. And then I can interact with them via Facebook. Of course, we've had some undesirable interaction from time to time, like Pastor Russell is a false prophet. I said, okay, thank you, and then block. Goodbye, hasta la vista. But it's rare. Honestly, it's rare. We've had like two or three times in over two or three years. So what happens is when I see that someone is attending the meetings on YouTube, on the outer, you know, rim, the green circle there, and is asking nice questions and is getting interested, really interested, eventually I ask to have a video conference with that person because I like to see who I am talking with. And that's when, you know, during the conversation, we decide whether or not the person, you know, is reliable and really interested. And eventually, we can ask that person from YouTube to be in the yellow circle, the Facebook Messenger circle, where they can interact. And also, we have a mana group. That's why we took the vote. And that's how I took the vote. Basically, it's an ongoing conversation 24/7. So people offer their comments on the mana and related subjects. So it's really, it's a tight-knit virtual community, in a sense. And the Lord has been blessing. Let me go back here. For example, regarding publications, you can imagine that there are many people interacting and asking for contact and publications has amounted to 200 plus or more than 200 local subscribers of the Dawn magazine. We have been translating the Dawn. And when I say local, it's because I also know that some people write the Dawn directly and they receive the magazine from there. And along with the Dawn, we also have some End Times translated to Portuguese. I love that newsletter, by the way. And we send it along with it. We have one annual two-day convention in October, by the way. You are invited in case you want to go. And other special meetings during the year. And we have seen the blessings of the Lord in regards of participation, in regards of publications being translated, brethren being immersed, groups being formed, like this family in Manaus who sent their Christian love. And we have also started venturing into the Spanish field, so to speak. We try to replicate the same system in Spanish. So we've had some brethren from Argentina, from the United States. There's one brother who lives here, but he's originally from Puerto Rico, from Colombia. So then we get together, and we pretty much do the same thing. The picture that you see there is the first webinar that we had in Spanish. That was at Creber, where Brother Todd works. So he has this nice setting, the green background, and we replaced it with a nice picture with the earth. And the theme of that webinar was A Ransom for All. And we have been doing our best to preach the harvest message far and wide. And that means not only in Brazil, but also in Spanish-speaking countries. And to me, it's a huge privilege to be involved in those efforts and to count with the help from so many different brethren, so many different families, to make this happen. Like I said before, Brother Todd, Sister Marge and the Hagen Six, and other brethren who are willing to help us do this. But above all, we feel the Lord's hands in this. That's the only explanation. How could a person that was in the middle of, you know, the JWs, get in touch with a Bible student and meet that Bible student 3 years later and get out of Babylon? I include them to be kind of in Babylon. They have truths, of course, and they are well-meaning. And now I'm here in front of all of you. So it humbles me. It is a privilege. And I thank the Lord. I thank Jehovah every day for that. Now, I would like to open this session for questions, in case you might have, on any subject. Brother Megas.
You found the truth when you were with the Jehovah's Witnesses. Of the ones that are newly interested in Brazil, do you know, do they also come from the Jehovah's Witnesses, or do they come from the mainstream nominal church systems? Can you give us an idea? And also, how many total consecrated, if you can estimate it, are there in the entire country?
Well, we have 9 consecrated brethren scattered all over the country. All of them came from the XJW background. A couple of years ago, we had one brother from the evangelical background. I guess he came from the Baptist church. But unfortunately, he is no longer associated with the Bible students. He went back to the Baptists. I know this. That was when I was getting involved with the work. And he and this other brother from Rio were doing the work back then. Yes.
Brother Andre, what languages are you fluent in? And do you translate the Herald at this time in Portuguese?
Okay. Well, I'd say that I'm trying to be fluent in Portuguese. Let's say that I can speak Portuguese, English, Spanish. I understand perfectly Italian. I can speak a little bit of Italian. Written French, but not spoken French. That's about it. I'm trying to improve it. Thank you. Oh yes, the Herald. We have this. I've translated selected articles from the Herald, but we have this project of beginning to translate the Herald as well, because I think it's important to offer that spiritual food along with the others that we have. I particularly love the Herald magazine. Yes.
You mentioned when you received the truth, your wife was in a state of shock.
Yes.
How long did it take for her to accept the truth?
Well, I guess, if we count from the time or the day I told her that I had the heavenly hope, I guess that some 4 years elapsed. I mean, she actually became convinced of the truth after the first time she came for the general convention. So that's when, you know, she was more open to the harvest message. And we went through several studies on consecration, on the heavenly calling, spirit begettal, things that she needed to understand first before consecrating. And not only her, but all the ones that were involved with us back then. So those were studies that we had. And we still do. Before Memorial, we study those topics. Because the JWs, they have a totally different idea of what it is to be called, like I said. For them, it's something that God makes you want to go to heaven. It's not like you become convinced and consecrates, and then if Jehovah accepts your consecration, he will beget you. Yes, over here.
Brother Andre, can you give us a feeling for what is happening to Christianity in general in Brazil? You know, looking for indications of the system cracking. I presume that Brazil is traditionally a Catholic-influenced country.
Correct.
And so I'm just wondering in particular about Catholic religion as to whether the influences that are seen out in the world are typical or happening also in Brazil.
Well, I'd say that Brazil is a Catholic country, like you said. I think that slowly but surely the Catholic Church is losing its grips, its influence all over the world, and that's true. I mean, that's true for Brazil also. But in average, Brazilians are still very religious people. Many of them say, "Well, I'm Catholic. I'll die Catholic." Oh, do you go to church? No, I don't go to church. But I'm Catholic, and that's pretty much where they stand. Now, the evangelical churches are also growing in our country. I don't know exactly how they are in this country. Maybe not growing. Maybe it's the opposite. I know that in Europe they are becoming fewer, but in Brazil it's the opposite. You know, they're kind of growing, and also. And unfortunately, a lot of religions involved with the occult, spiritism, Santeria, that's very popular in many areas of our country. You know Santeria? You know when they use, you know, animals and voodoo thing, looks like that. Yeah. Thank you.
We only have a few minutes left.
Okay. Brother Ruggiero.
In your chart, you were showing how you invite the public to view your meetings. Mm-hmm. Has that changed what you say at your meetings? Has it watered it down? Do you find that there's a negative aspect to public being in your meeting, that you don't have the privacy of only having brethren?
You know, we try to be as normal as possible. As normal as possible. Because when someone is brought to this level here, if he's participating here in a video conference, he knows that he will be heard. He will not be seen, but he will be heard, his or her comments. And we try to have a normal meeting. We are currently studying God's Grand Plan of the Ages book, and it's been such a blessing. So many positive comments. Of course, we don't have testimony meetings because it's private, personal. We don't have business meetings online, but the studies are normal, and we try to be nice, of course, you know. But I'd say that it's more normal than not normal.
So what is represented in the blue circle in the middle?
The blue circle is the local class. I mean, it's my house, Simone and I, and any other brethren from Rio who wishes to participate.
Is that, are they private meetings? Are they broadcast as well?
They are broadcast. So they start there. It's the physical meeting, we call it, physical meeting. It starts in my house. But at the same time, we are having the meeting with these other brethren, with the brethren
in the yellow.
On the yellow circle, and also with the public. Okay. So it's an open meeting, but it's done from our house.
And you have to have the physical meeting in
yes.
order to have the yellow and the green.
Yeah, the idea is actually to grow, you know, and to have an established and bigger class over time. Sister Sherelle, do I have 3 or 4 more minutes?
Yes, that's about it.
Okay.
With the YouTube broadcast and the history that the Jehovah's Witness organization has of really injuring those who are seeking new truth, do you have a way to protect the identity of those who listen in or those who comment, or is it not
yes.
needed?
Actually, they protect their identity because they create fake accounts. So they know that. And also when I'm reading their comments, I don't mention their names. I just read their comments. You know, this person asked this, that person asked that. Because we don't want that to be recorded, you know. So that's the way to go, in order to also add this extra layer of privacy. And one more question, or maybe two more questions. Sister,
you probably mentioned this, but how many volumes do you have translated in Portuguese?
Volume 1, 2, Tabernacle Shadows, and we are currently translating Volume 6 because it's necessary for the growth and the organization of the Ecclesia. And just one more.
Can you tell us how many are in each of those circles? Approximately, I know it varies, but how many mm-hmm. brethren are there? And how often do you have your meetings? Just Sundays, or do you have anything during the week?
We have, every Sunday we have a meeting. Now we are planning of having a mid-week meeting as well. Not broadcast, just for us. On the messenger level, we have as many as 10 people. And on the public, it depends. We could have 20, 30. One day we had 50. So it depends on the subject and how many are online. Thank you very much for your questions, for your patience, for your support. And I like the sentence that the brother said, and may the Lord correct anything that was said amiss. Thank you.